what God's been putting a burden on my heart about. So take your Bible to the book of Mark chapter 14. And I hope God will get in this thing and get me out of the way. I struggled with where to take off with this message. So many places in the Bible. Sometimes as a preacher and you study messages, you'll come across a passage of Scripture and God will give you a message out of it. And sometimes God will give you a message and you'll put the Scriptures to the message. And this is one of them cases where God started dealing with my heart, put a burden on my heart about this message. And I just kind of looked in the Bible and began to think about the Bible and found out there were several places you could launch this message from. Amen? So prayed and about all day today been praying and thinking about this thing and what God would have me to do. And finally I got what I believe to be the mind of the Lord. Amen? We'll know shortly if it is. And so let's look here in Mark chapter number 14 and read a few verses here, starting in verse number 3, where the Bible says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight we certainly do desire the help of God in the service tonight. Father, we are simply servants at your mercy, and I trust and pray that, Lord, you'd get into this message and begin to touch hearts. I don't understand, Lord. I don't know what you're going to try to accomplish here tonight. With this message or any of the other messages that may come this week, I don't know what the needs of this church is. But Lord, I'm just doing the best I can to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God and preach what you lay upon my heart. And I trust you, Lord, that you'll do a work here tonight in the hearts of these people that only you can take credit for. Father, if there be one in our midst tonight, lost and undone without God, Lord, I pray for their soul to be saved here tonight. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for each one coming out tonight. And I pray they would receive what just exactly they need in their life and in their heart. Lord, I know you could take this message and touch many hearts in many different ways. And here tonight, Father, I pray you'd meet the needs of these people. God, meet with us. Manifest yourself in our midst. We'll be careful to thank you and praise you for any fruit that comes forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now I want to look here at this lady that came to the Lord Jesus Christ here. The Bible said she came in and she had a alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. Amen. So here she came in with this very precious perfume and this ointment here. And the Bible said she broke the box and poured it on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. She gave this box of ointment. She anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with this box. And when she did so, she made those around her mad. Amen. And I got many thoughts and reasons as to maybe why they got mad. Most of all, I'd say it's because she did something that they wished they had done. Amen. I mean, I could see in their hearts. I could see in their minds tossing and turning. They're thinking that maybe I've got one of those boxes at home and boy, if I'd have just thought about that, I could have brought my box in and I could have been the one down there anointing the head of the Lord Jesus Christ and I could be the one that give him all the glory and praise he deserves. Maybe that's why they got mad, amen? Maybe they had a root of greed inside of them, amen? And maybe they got mad at this lady because they would like to have the money. Most certainly that was some of them's thought because the Bible even says it. Or maybe they begin to think, boy, I wish I had that ointment. I wish I could afford something like that. I wish God would bless me and give me something like that. Amen. I see that a lot in the, you get around these churches, and you always have certain crowds. Amen. Every church is the same way. Every church will always have a crowd of people who give and a crowd of people who are blessed. And I mean, it's just a fact of life. Some folks have more than other people have. But most often I find out in the churches that those people that have, are generally the people that give. Amen. You say, well, sure, that's the case. Amen. They've got more, they can give more. No, 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 no. You got it all backwards. Most of the time they got more because they gave more. Amen. God blesses them and God uses them. Amen. I know several people right now that's got a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily call them rich, but they're a whole lot better off than the average Joe. And the reason they do is because when God comes and speaks to their heart, they'll give it away. Amen. They'll support a missionary. They'll support somebody out here. They'll help out the poor. Amen. They'll donate to this or they'll donate to that or they'll do things that God would have them to do. Amen. So God just blesses them with it. You take somebody who's stingy and strong-hearted with their money and their assets and their goods and things like that, amen. Some of those guys couldn't have been given a very precious ointment box, amen, an alabaster box of ointment, because God knows when it came time that he needed that box, he couldn't go to them and say, listen, I'd like to have that box today, amen. They wouldn't give it up. So God said, I just think I'll keep it. This little old lady right here, she'll give it up when I need it, so I'll let her have it, amen. But regardless of the case, they got mad at her. I mean, just got mad. And the Bible said they had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Now notice they had a waste of ointment. To her and to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no waste. But when they looked around at these others, amen, it was a waste of ointment. I mean, you know, you got certain crowds in the church houses, amen, and they look at that thing and they get mad and they get bitter because somebody's doing something for the glory of God and it's costing a little something, amen, and they look at that thing and they say it's just a waste of time, it's just a waste of money. Why go out and knock on the doors? Why pass out the tracts? Why witness to anybody? Why give your money to church? Why support the missionaries? It's just a waste of time and money. Why do all that? Now to you it may be a waste of time and money. But to that one that's getting help, amen, and to that one that's doing the helping, I'll guarantee you it's not a waste of time and it's not a waste of money. Amen. But they said it's just a waste. Said we just wasted this ointment. Now, I want you to notice they put more emphasis on the poor and on the money than they did on Jesus Christ. Because their reasoning for it being a waste is they could have sold it for more than 300 pence and give it to the poor. Amen. Forget the fact that we just gave it to the greatest of the great. Amen. Forget the fact that we just gave it to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, absolutely, that's just an absolute waste, amen. I mean, we could have given it to that bum down there on the street that's probably got more money than you got. He's a professional bum, amen. He sits around. The craziest one I've seen, we got this guy down in our area, amen, and he'll set out off them interstate exit signs, and he's got him a dog there, a good, healthy-looking dog, and his sign says, hungry. Now, when you go to a third-world country, if that person's hungry, and them people over there is really, really hungry, we don't understand hungry. They understand hungry. You don't see dogs running around. If you do, he's usually got his tail tucked and he's blazing a trail. He's not hanging out beside that hungry person. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm not an incompassionate or non-compassionate or, you know, some cold-hearted, you know, snake out here in the wilderness. Amen? I mean, I understand giving to the poor and I understand trying to help people be a blessing, but come on, man. I'm not going to feed him a burger and watch him tear half of it up and give it to that stinking dog. Amen? These guys say, he ain't hungry, he's a professional bum. But they had more compassion. Amen, that's the way America is. They got more compassion on the bums of the world, and the lazy, good-for-nothing, that won't hit a lick at a snake, than they do for the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. Amen.
I mean, after all you got to do is take a look at the ACLU to prove that point. I mean, ACLU, so you can drop the hat for offending anybody unless that anybody's a Christian. So you can offend a Bible believer all you want to. You mark it down. You won't see a Bible believer get offended, amen, because the government did something or because somebody else did something or some anti-religious organization did something. And that born-again, blood-washed, blood-bought Christian go down to the ACLU. The ACLU will not get on your side, amen. Because they're not interested in helping a Christian. They're interested in condemning Christianity. Amen. That's a wicked organization. But this lady brought this alabaster box. Very precious ointment. And she broke it. And she poured it upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't know much about this lady, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much she had. I don't know if she had any more. But I'm persuaded that it was probably the only box she had. And I'm persuaded that she probably didn't have a whole lot. And maybe even this box may have been a hand-me-down from Mama or Grandma or somebody like that. But anyhow, this lady brought this box of ointment and gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, here's the response of the Lord. Verse number 8, that's really what I want to preach on. The Bible says she hath done what she could. Amen? She done what she could. Say, was it something great? No, wasn't real great. Was it something outstanding? Was it something nobody else could do? Was it something in the national spotlight? No. But Jesus said she done what she could. And when she done what she could, Jesus said this. He said, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now how about that? Amen. We're all so worried about getting down to Vegas and getting our name in lights, amen, on the strip down at Vegas, or getting down there in Hollywood and get our name on in the lights in Hollywood, or we want to be the great big time speaker, amen, the great attraction, the great I am. But listen, this lady's been right hook, had her name and her account wrote in the Word of God, and it's going to be remembered forever, amen. Not because of what she did, but because she did what she could. It wasn't the box of ointment. And this is what leads me to think this was her only box, amen. It wasn't necessarily the box of ointment. It wasn't necessarily that she gave it to Jesus Christ. But it was because she did what she could do. Now listen, church, we live in the last days. We live in the days, and the Laodicean church age is taking root, amen, and I tell you, it is going down, 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 down. I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom, but I am a Bible preacher and a Bible believer, amen. And I'm telling you right now, this world is going downhill. Does that mean we can't have anything here? No, that's not what it means. But it means the last days are here. And the Bible said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Bible said they're going to come falling away first, amen. And the preacher's already talked about the Lord Jesus Christ going to step out on that clouds of glory and call his church home, amen. We're going to be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight. What a blessing that'd be, amen. I'd get there before you would. I'm higher up, amen. I got a head start. Amen. Got a head start on you. At least a foot or so, anyhow. But she done what she could. And I want to preach that tonight. Do what you can. Are you doing what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, really and truly, are you doing what you can? And what I'm saying that, and you're going to see when I get in this message, I'm not necessarily talking about what you're doing as I am your motive behind it. And that's what God was concerned with, was her motive behind what she did. And that's why he said she has done what she could. Amen. Are you doing what you can with no regrets? Amen. No regrets. If tonight was the last night of your life, would you be able to say, I have no regrets? When you scan back over your life, can you say, I have no regrets as far as the Christian life is concerned? Lost people come into this place and walk back out these doors lost. You will not be able to say that. When the end of this world comes, the rapture takes place, amen. And hey, listen, you can read that book all you want to about being left behind. But if you heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said He'd send you a strong delusion that you should believe a lie, amen. And when the Lord Jesus Christ snatches His church out of here, snatches that Holy Spirit out of here, you're going to run around to the doors of these churches, knock and cry and beg and plead, amen. But you're going to finally come to a place where you're going to regret not getting saved when you had a chance. Stand at that great white throne judgment before God Almighty, you'll regret not getting saved. But I don't regret it. I got saved December 9th, 1995. I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I give up on myself. I give up on my ways. I give up on my sin. And I cried out to Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive me and save me. And I've never, not one day in my life, ever regretted getting born again. I can honestly stand here tonight and tell you that I got saved and I did it with no regrets, amen. No regrets whatsoever. I hear these stories about lost people come in and their testimony is, well, you know, I enjoy this or I enjoy that. If I get saved, I'll have to quit this and I'll have to quit that. Well, listen, when I got saved, there was some things I had to quit. There was some things I had to give up. But I don't regret a minute of it. I don't regret a minute. I've never in my life met a born-again Christian that said, I wish I'd have never got saved. I've never met one of you. Never have met any of them that said, I wish I'd have never got saved. But yet, there's people around the country that says, I wish I had got saved. Hell's full of people tonight that said, I wish I had got saved. Oh, I wish I'd have got saved when I had a chance. I wish I'd have listened to that preacher, amen. I wish I'd have done that, amen. Their life is full of regrets. Because time for your salvation, can you die with no regrets? The Bible said, boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Can you die tonight with no regrets? Concerning your salvation, what about your service to God? You who are saved, can you live your life, amen, and you're going to face heaven tonight? Can you get up there with no regrets? Amen? You don't want to live a Christian life full of regrets. You don't want to go through this world and wish you'd have done this for God or wish you'd have done that for God. No regrets, amen. I mean, I stepped out and by faith and in December, amen, and quit my job, not this last December, but December of 05, and quit my job and went full-time in evangelism, and I have no regrets, amen. I can honestly say tonight I have no regrets. I know a missionary on the fields of Mexico, been there for 30 years, and he could tell you tonight I have no regrets, amen. He told me himself, he said, I love my people, I love this place. This is where God called me. And he said, even if my wife went home, if my kids went home, and it just me and these Mexican people, he said, I would not go back to America. He said, I have no regrets. Amen? Amen. You regret serving God tonight? Maybe you regret not serving God. Huh? How many times did the Holy Ghost of God stirred your heart to do something for Him, and you didn't do it, amen? And hey, you know what bugs me the most? This is what gets me. Hey man, when God gets a hold of my heart, starts dealing with me to do something for Him, and I don't do it, then I watch somebody else jump up and do it. Oh, I'm telling you, I sit there and I feel like I'm about this tall and about as worthless as the scum on the bottom of a man's boot, amen, because I know what happened right then. I hesitated, Brother Pierre, and I hesitated, and the Holy Ghost of God said, you fool, I'm tired of fooling with you, and jumped off over here, and this person got up and did what I should have done. I've said at church services, the Holy Ghost of God said, why don't you go pray? Altar call be given, and you know God dealing with people. Nobody wants to get up and come. Nobody wants to move. And the Holy Ghost of God say, why don't you get up and go pray? Well, I don't have nothing to pray about, God. I didn't say that. I said, why don't you get up and go pray, amen? And really and truly all God's wanting is somebody to break the ice. And I sat there and said, I just don't think I'll go. I don't feel like going, amen. Next thing you know, somebody else gets up and comes to the altar and you know good and well they're doing your job, amen. I don't want nobody doing my job. I don't want to live my life full of regrets that I didn't do what God wanted me to do. That's one of the hardest things I had to battle. In April of 2000, I felt like God called me to be an evangelist. We started traveling the country, going to all the meetings we could get in. And I'm telling you, it was a struggle. Every time I went to a meeting, it was a struggle. And I'd go to them altars and I'd weep and I'd cry and I'd pour my heart out to God. And man, I mean, I'd had such a desire to go, but I just didn't have no people. No meetings were coming, amen. Nobody was asking us to come preach a meeting. Nobody was asking us to do anything. Just very few times did we have a meeting. And I couldn't figure out, I said, Lord, why are you not opening the doors? Why are we not going? Why are we not? And every time I get ready to jump in, sink or swim, it's time to go. God's preaching message and say, better wait on me. But you know why I have such a burning desire to go and why many times I come real close to going without God? And that's because I saw the days slipping away. The Bible said, redeeming the time for the days are evil. And I saw that time slipping away and slipping away and slipping away. And I was afraid that I'd get down to the end of my life one day and regret not going sooner. I don't want nobody doing my job. Listen, you have a job to do tonight. You understand that? You, as a born-again Christian, you have got a job to do. I don't know what it is. This pastor's got a job to do. The song leader's got a job to do. You Sunday school teachers has got a job to do. And every single one of you that's saved tonight's got a job to do. I don't know what it is. But I got a sneaking feeling tonight that some of you know what it is, but you ain't doing it. One of the saddest things I ever heard in my life is when you get in these churches and get to having a meeting with them and you get to talking to the members, brother, and it's all, well, I used to do that. Oh, man, why don't you just jump up and down and say, I'm wicked, amen. Don't ask, why did you used to and not now? Because you'll get some of the lamest excuses on earth. It's usually the preacher's fault. No, it's nobody's fault, but your fault. And the reason you used to and you don't now is because you quit on God. And I guarantee you one of these days when you face Jesus Christ at judgment seat, you will regret quitting on God. No regrets. She done what she could with no regrets. I don't think this woman for a minute said, man, why did I do that? Man, well, I wish I could just squeeze his hair, run that ointment back down in that box. No, I don't think so. She said, Lord, here you go. No regrets. No regrets. The second thing is, she done what she could with no reserve. No reserve. She went to the Lord Jesus Christ and broke that box of ointment. And she had them two halves there. And she said, you know what, Lord, I think I'll just give you this half. No, she said, I'll give it all to you. You can have it all. Boy, not to Christians today. We'll give you Sunday morning. And we'll give you Sunday night. And we'll give you Wednesday night, but don't you dare ask me for Monday and Tuesday night. That's my time, preacher, and I'm not giving it to God. Amen. This woman gave all she had with no reserve. Didn't hold nothing back from God. Let me tell you how God works. God wants to be able to speak and have His people move. You know why there's such an emphasis put on your money? It ain't because Baptist churches is a crook. Some of them are, but a lot of them ain't crooks. But it's because God knows that's where your heart's at. I can point out to you, I go into some of the churches I go into, and if it's a given church, you don't have a whole lot of trouble getting people to move and do what God wants them to do. But you go into them dead churches where they won't move, and you can't stir them with a stick, amen? Then you can rest assured the offering will be minimal. Why is that? Because they ain't give it all to God. They're still hanging on to their part. Their part. I mean, listen, we fuss because God asked us to give 10%. Like we didn't get to keep the 90. And like the 10 ain't eventually going to work its way right back into our pocket anyway. Plus some, probably. Amen?
Amen.
Then not only, hey, listen, we can get off on everything else besides money. What about our singing? This half-hearted Christianity business ain't working, church. It ain't working. I mean, I'm just foolish enough. When I got saved, I just jumped in with both feet. Amen? Forget playing church. Hey, you're halfway in. You're halfway. I heard one guy say it this way. He said, you know why people don't serve God today? They ain't saved enough. Because 99% saved is 100% lost, amen? You're going to have to give it all to Him. He don't want part of what you got, amen? He don't want part of your life. He don't want part of your money. He don't want part of your talents. He wants everything you've got, amen? You say, well, I ain't got nothing to give. Maybe you ought to just come and lay down and say, Lord, this is all I got. It's me. Here, you can have it. No reserve. What's she going to do tomorrow? Who really cares? She give it all to Jesus Christ. Give it all to Him. Amen? I don't have any reserve. I don't. Many times I've walked into meetings and somewhere and Holy Ghost of God speak to my heart and I give them the last dollar I've got. Say, what are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. I always eat, can't you tell? I don't have any reserves. I give all my talents to the Lord. Amen? I'll save anything else. I can't play that guitar a bit better than what you've seen. I don't go out here to the honky-tonks on Friday and Saturday night and let her rip for sure. No, I give it all to God. She give this box of ointment with no reserve. That's one thing that's missing in these last day churches. We get full of half-hearted Christians. We're saved, but that's just about as far as we're going to go, preacher. We might swim in the 3-foot end, but we ain't going in over our heads. Amen? You show up to church when you want to. You do things when you want to. And you ain't even serious about what you do when you do it. Because all you did was give God your heart as far as salvation. But you ain't going to give Him your home. That's why you won't let God rule your home with that Bible. And you ain't going to give God your workplace. Amen. That's why some of you end up having to work on church time. You ain't going to give God nothing, amen, that you don't have to give God. And you can go to heaven just exactly like that. Because you don't have to give God everything, go to heaven. You can get born again, and you can hang on to everything you've got and still get to heaven. But you won't be able to do it with no regrets. Half-hearted Christians. Amen. Give it all. You know what you need to do tonight? You need to make up your mind. Sink or swim. I'm going to jump in. Amen? You realize tonight, as Peter was standing there on the side of that boat, the Lord simply said, come on, Peter. Now, he didn't promise him he could walk on water. He didn't promise him he'd catch him if he'd fall. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come. All that was a promise to Peter that I am him. But now Peter's got to get out of the boat. Amen? You don't have to get out of the boat. You're holding back on God tonight, and you may be the reason, the sole reason, that this church ain't going no further than what it is. You may be the sole reason your family ain't going no further than what it is. Because you are holding back on God. You got to keep a little bit for yourself, amen? You got to keep a little bit of dignity. You got to keep a little bit of pride. You got to keep a little bit of that testimony. You got to keep a little back for yourself. You ain't going to go too far with this thing. That's a lie that the devil's tried to tell you. He started that stuff way back when he was dealing with it. Children of Israel going out of Pharaoh, he said, you can go one day, but don't go three. Just don't go too far. See, when I got saved, I fell in love with Jesus Christ. Now, if you ain't give God everything, you ain't fell in love with Jesus Christ. This world's full of people in Baptist churches, sitting on the pews. You're saved. No doubt in my mind, you're saved. But you have yet come to a place in your life where you said, okay, Lord, I'm yours. You can have it all. You see, God will start dealing with a person small, small, subtle ways. And I'll just give you an example. Preaching be going on or singing be going on. The Holy Ghost of God will slip in and say, say amen. No. I can't do that. Nobody else is saying amen. But if you finally give in and say, okay, Lord, next chance I get, I'll say an amen. It's still the blood. Amen. 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 All of a sudden, boy, you say, you know, that wasn't all that bad. Then the next thing you know, the Lord will come by and say, how about just slipping your hand up? No, no. I mean, amen's good enough, but I mean, after all, preacher, I mean, if I was to put my hand in there, everybody would know it's me. I can't do that. But if you'll finally muster up the courage and give it to God, you can slip that hand up and then you'll say, you know what, that wasn't all that bad. And God will just keep building that thing, and then He'll get you to a place where you can do them both at the same time. Say, amen. Amen. Then He'll get you to a place where, He'll say, where you can shout and you'll say, glory! Next thing you know, God will say, how about jumping up and shouting? And you'll jump up and say, glory, hallelujah. Say, does that all matter? No, here's what matters. And this is what it's all about. God wants to speak and hear you say, okay. God wants to, and if God can't speak to your heart for an amen, or a praise the Lord, or a trip to the altar, how in the world do you think God's going to be able to speak to your heart to win some lost soul to Christ, or to help some poor missionary on a field, or to help your pastor, or to help your church, amen? You need to give it all to God. Quit holding back. Got too much pride. This woman, she gave it all. Said, Lord, you can have everything I've got. Every bit of it, Lord, is yours. No reserve. And then she did it with no retreat. No retreat. The ridicule came. The mocking came. The attitudes came. The anger came. She stood her ground. No retreat. You say, how do you know she stood her ground? I don't really know that she did, but you don't know that she didn't, amen. Are you trying to tell me a woman that's got enough guts, amen, to walk out amidst all of that wicked old crowd of, of Pharisees and disciples and all that bunch of mess and break open her very precious box of ointment and anoint the head of Jesus. Ain't got enough guts, amen, to stand beside her, Lord, and let God take care of things. No retreat. See, what happens is when you get ready, you give everything to God, you begin to serve God, you begin to do what God wants you to do, and you give everything to God, I guarantee you somebody will make fun of you. Somebody will spit in your face, somebody will laugh at you, somebody will make a joke out of you, somebody will run you through the ringer, somebody will make you look like a fool, amen. Your world may come crashing down around you. It may cost you life. It may cost you limb. It may cost you health, amen. But I'm telling you tonight, there is no place of repentance when it comes to serving God, living for God. There is nowhere to turn around. There's nowhere to go back. Peter said, where are we going to go, Lord? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. No retreats. No backing up. No quitting. No thought in the towel. I've thought about quitting a bunch of times. There's even times I'd like to quit. But you just can't do that. Got too much at stake. Got too much at stake. Got too much at stake. No retreat. No retreat. Some of the things that's kept me going in hard times is probably one of the greatest preachers of our time. No doubt if the Lord tarries his coming until our great grandkids are up preaching, he'll be in the synagogues with Billy Sunday and Charles Wesley and that other fellow there, one that nailed that thesis to the wall. I forgot his name the other day. Martin Luther. All of them guys. All the great preachers. Great preachers now. We're not talking about none of that other TV crowd. We're talking about great preachers. Amen. One of those greats, amen, that one day when he'll fit into that crowd will be Earl Hughes. Yeah. Earl Hughes said one time, said, you know what? He said, I was down and depressed, discouraged, and had every intentions on quitting. He said, and I went to God and said, God, I'm just going to quit. He said, when did you get started? Now, if Earl Hughes ain't never got started, hey man, I don't think there's nowhere I can quit. You know what else has kept me going? Little boy named Buzz Powell, down in Alabama, got saved one night when I preached. And his mama said what she would do is take pictures of him and preachers and blow them up, put them on that boy's wall. When I get discouraged and I want to quit, you know what? I see his mama walking into his bedroom and snatching that picture off the wall, me and him. And I see old Buzz saying, Mama, what are you doing that for? And she'll say, because he quit on God. I don't want that. I don't want it. I tell you something else that keeps me from quitting. I get up every morning and I look at that boy's face. And I see him at a pivotal point in his life where he's either going to serve God or he's going to serve the devil. And I go home and I visit my mom and daddy, and my two little nephews will run up and jump in my lap. And I see them either serving God or serving the devil. Right. And you know what makes their decision? Is what they see us do. Right. What they see us do will determine what they do. No retreat. Nowhere to quit. Old preacher man Jack Wood. I never did get to meet Brother Jack Wood, but know a lot of his boys, as he called them. One of these boys, Brother Gary Lutrick, said he called him up. He told him, said, you need to come down here. And I reckon he'd called all them boys from the way I understood it. And they all gathered around Jack Wood's bed. And he said, listen here, boys. He said, I taught you how to get saved. He said, I taught you how to love God. He said, I showed you how to live for God. He said, now you just sit down right over there. And he said, I'll show you how to die.
No place to quit.
No place to quit. Nowhere to turn around. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. Pressing is hard business. Pressing means the way is tough. Pressing means there's a lot of opposition. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Pressing. Keep pressing on. This woman came and she offered this alabaster box a very, very precious ointment with no regrets and no reserve and no retreat. You say, why didn't she quit? Why didn't she go home? Why should she? Why should she? The immediate time that the anger started, when the opposition came, when the trouble faced her, her God stepped up and took charge. Jesus Christ said basically, shut up and leave her alone. Leave her alone. She wrought a good work on me. Don't you know when he said that, it began to bring shame and reproach in their life? What have you done? That's basically what he's saying between the lines. What have you done? You want to make mock fun and poke fun at the ones that serve God, the ones that love God, the ones that live for God, the ones that sold out for God, amen? You want to criticize them, tell them how they're all doing it wrong? What have you done? Where are you at? Show me your criteria. Basically what the Lord's saying. Had a fellow in my church tell me just before we left him, headed to Maine on this trip here, and we've been out. Subject of insurance came up, and I told him I didn't have any. And he said, you can't live without insurance. So what are you going to do if... He said, what are you going to do if something happens to you and you end up with a car wreck or something like that and you're in the hospital? What are you going to do? I said, I guess I'll just ask God to pay the bill. Because I don't have any other choice. The guy that's a real friend of mine used to give us money from time to time to help us in the ministry. I know now why it's a used to. So, well, maybe you should have stayed there and kept working until you could have afforded the insurance. And I said, I'd have never went and done anything for God. And then he got down to the root of the matter, and he said, you know what? You give up a good work. He said, you had the ministry of the radio broadcast. You was on the nursing homes. You had that jail ministry going. And he said, you give up a good work. And I said, are you trying to tell me that what I got now is not a good work? Here's what he said. He said, that's right. You don't have a work no more. I said, so a full-time evangelist is not a work? He said, no, it's not. I said, why did God put it in the Bible? Be honest with you, it bothered me. Not about what I was doing, but about his spiritual standing. And I thought, man, that is sad. Come out of an independent, King James, Bible-believing Baptist church. And that's what you think about the servants of God? But you don't quit. You don't quit. So what'd you do, preacher? Went home, packed my bags, and hit the road. So what are you going to do here this week if nothing happens? I'm going to pack my bags. And I'm going to hit the road. And I'm going to stop at the next town. And I'm going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And I'll just let you deal with it. Amen.
Right.
No retreat. Some of you in here, sitting here, you just like what I said earlier, you used to do something for God. You know what happened to you? You retreated. You quit. That's exactly what happened. You quit. We are in the Lord's army, are we not?
Yes, sir. Is the Lord Jesus Christ not going to come and snatch His church out of here?
Amen.
One of these days then, after that tribulation period's over with, that church is going to be coming back with Jesus Christ. And we're going to have a war like you've never seen before. You think just for 1 ounce of a minute that Jesus Christ wants to crawl in a foxhole with a quitter? Would you want to crawl in the foxhole with a quitter? You say, oh, we're going to be glorified then, preacher. I know that. Won't you get some practice tonight? If you used to, then you quit. You quit. You turned and run. You said, you know what? Battle's just too strong. It just ain't worth what I got to give. Amen? You get done this week. It's always my desire, everywhere I go, every time I preach a meeting, when I leave, I want to know I did what God wanted me to do. I want to know I preached what God wanted me to preach. And I want to know we sung what God wanted us to sing. And I want to know I said what I needed to say. I'm not interested in how many people flock to this altar or don't flock to this altar. I'm not interested in how much your offering is or how little it is. I'm interested in whether I did what God wanted me to do. Because the rest of it's in your court. The rest of it's up to you. I'm determined tonight, church, while a piano player comes, I am determined in my heart that when I leave this place and this meeting's done, and I'm not talking about tonight, I'm talking about this week, when this meeting's done, I'm determined to hit that road towards Canada with no regrets. I don't want to drive for 8 hours on my way to my next meeting and say, you know what, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have preached this message. Boy, I wish we'd have sung that song. You know what, boy, that would have been a good song to sing right there. No. I want to leave and I want to head up that road and say, you know what, Lord, I did what I was supposed to do. Can you leave? Can you leave tonight and say you did what you're supposed to do? He said, preacher, well, it just seemed like it was such a small thing. That alabaster box of ointment didn't seem very big either. But she gave it to the Lord. No regrets. No reserve. And no retreat. She gave it all to God. Would we stand tonight? While the summer folks are coming, just stand to your feet. Make it easy.